This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The fourth week and the last week in our series on the book of Ruth, we've been doing one chapter every week for the last 4 weeks, and so today is the fourth chapter, and so we're going to start with a video that kind of will jog all of our memories about the book of Ruth and its story. So let's start there.
In chapter 1, we learn about where Ruth came from. A man named Elimelech marries a woman named Naomi in the town of Bethlehem. They have two sons, and they all travel to Moab during a famine. Elimelech dies, and the two sons marry women from Moab. One marries Orpah, the other marries Ruth. Those two men die in Moab, and Naomi decides to return to Bethlehem. Orpah returns to her family, but Ruth travels with Naomi back to Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, Ruth gleans in the fields of a man named Boaz. He is a righteous man who sees her and gives her additional food and water and asks her to only work in his fields so that she can be safe and well taken care of. Ruth goes home, tells Naomi of what happened, and Naomi agrees that she should stay in those fields because Boaz is actually a close relative of theirs. So Ruth gleaned in Boaz's crops until the end of the harvest. Naomi and Ruth have a discussion about Ruth getting married again. Naomi suggests that she marry Boaz and tells her to go to him that night and talk to him about it. Ruth does as Naomi says and approaches Boaz after he's done working. She asks him to redeem her family and to marry her, and Boaz responds that there is one other person who should do that. He says, "If he does, that is a good thing. If he isn't willing, then I will surely redeem you." Chapter 4 begins with Boaz at the city gates, looking for the man that is to redeem Ruth's family. He finds him and asks him to sit down to talk. Boaz then finds 10 elders of the city, asking them to be part of this conversation as witnesses. Boaz turns to the man and explains the situation. "Naomi, who has returned from Moab, is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would let you know so you can buy it here in the presence of the elders. If you won't do it, tell me, because I will if you won't." The Redeemer says he will, and Boaz responds, "One more thing. The day you buy the land, you also will acquire Ruth, the Moabite widow, in order to continue the name of her former husband, Mahlon." Boaz says here that this Redeemer will have to take Ruth as a wife, and their firstborn son will continue the name of Elimelech and Mahlon, not his own. This will result in the child receiving the land as an inheritance, rather than this Redeemer's own children. The man realizes this, and changes his mind. "I cannot redeem it. I would not want to affect my own children's inheritance. Take my right of redemption for yourself." The man removes the sandal as a visual confirmation of the transaction. Boaz turns to the elders and declares, "You are witnesses that I have bought the land from Naomi. I received Ruth as my wife to continue the name of her former husband, so that his name is not forgotten from his family of his homeland." The elders, along with others who had gathered, say, "We are witnesses." They then bless Boaz, declaring, "May you be renowned in Bethlehem and have many children." Boaz then marries Ruth, and the Lord blesses them with a son. The women of the town say to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has not forgotten you and has not abandoned you. This son shall be a restorer of life and take care of you in old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, worth more than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Naomi embraces her grandson and cares for him. The women gather and name him Obed. This son became the father of Jesse, who fathers David, who becomes the king of Israel. This is where the book of Ruth ends. By the grace of God, this Moabite widow becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus.
So today we talk about the final movement of the story, and like any great story, the theme has been woven throughout every page of the story, even if it was invisible to us at times. And that theme for today, and I would say the theme of the book of Ruth, is redemption. Redemption. So we're going to talk about redemption today, and we're going to do so under two headings. What is redemption, and how is redemption accomplished? What is it, and how is it accomplished? So let's start with what is it. Redemption, as we'll define it today, is this: the restoration of something that was on the verge of being lost. The restoration of something that was on the verge of being lost. There was something or someone that hangs perilously on the edge, and rescue and restoration is brought to them. Think about how we use that term redemption or redeem, like in our culture where we see it in our lives. And I think you'll see that that definition isn't too bad. You know, you think about a student who has had bad grades all semester. She is on the verge of flunking out, and then she aces the final. She has redeemed herself, we would say. She's rescued herself from the failure and whatever consequences may have been hanging in the balance. Or think about a football player who dropped a bunch of passes all game, but makes the winning catch at the end, and as we say, redeems himself. Both the game and his reputation hung in the balance. They were on the verge of being lost, but he redeemed himself. Or think about like the greatest stories of our time. You know, think about the what I would argue is the best movie of all time, Shawshank Redemption. It has redemption right there in the title. A story about two characters in prison who are hanging perilously on the edge. One is guilty and is on the verge of losing all hope, and one is innocent and on the verge of defeat and surrender. But in the end, redemption. Both characters are restored. Or there's this scene from what I would argue is the second greatest movie of all time, where two characters are on the verge of being lost. Everything hangs in the balance, and then
got room for one more if you still want to go to Aspen.
Where did you find that?
Some kid back in town. Traded the van for it, straight up. I can get 70 miles to the gallon on this hog.
You know, Lloyd, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself.
Second greatest movie of all time, right? Shawshank and then Dumb and Dumber. We're all in agreement on that, right? Okay, thank you. Okay. So there is something on the verge of being lost. That's what redemption is. And in the end, it's restored. It's rescued. Many of us and the people that we know are in need of real redemption. We need the broken parts of our lives redeemed. We long for redemption in the lives of people that we know. I think that many of us have been connecting with the themes of this book, the book of Ruth. I remember not the least of which is probably week one, lament, where we really focused on the pain that Ruth and Naomi were experiencing and reflect on the pain and broken areas of our lives too. Naomi suffered a lot. She lost her husband, she lost both of her sons, and she was sent to a foreign land. Loss dominated her life. Both her and Ruth were in desperate need of redemption. I think there are two specific things that Naomi, both Naomi and Ruth, were on the verge of losing. Things that are important for them, but I would argue things that are important for all of us. Two things. Number one is security. Security. Security for Ruth and Naomi was unpredictable. Remember, they were gleaning. Gleaning is what the poorest of the poor did. They would go out to the fields and take just the leftover handfuls that were still on the ground and on the crops after the harvest. They are living meal to meal, relying completely on the hospitality of strangers. Their security was very fragile. Most of us probably haven't experienced that level of insecurity, but it feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? Don't we all feel terribly insecure sometimes? Like if things go just a little bit wrong, it might all come apart. Or like the hits just keep on coming, and you fear that if there is just even one more thing, that we will come undone. Many of us feel like even when things are going well, many of us are still plagued by insecurity, that the house of cards may come down at any point. We long for real, true security for Naomi and Ruth and also for us. But their security hangs perilously on the edge. The second thing is this. They long for significance. Naomi and Ruth long for significance. That question of do we really matter and do we count? It's a little lost on us, but in the ancient world, one's significance and name and ongoing impact in the world was bound up and tied to land. Land that belonged to you. If your name was going to go on, if you were going to be someone that was remembered after your death, remembered for generations, it was because your name was connected to your family's plot of land. And for Naomi and Ruth, the husband and now the sons had both died, and their land was in danger of being lost, and thus their significance was in danger of being lost. It would be as if they had never existed. Once that land was sold into another family's hands, it was really, really difficult to get it back. It was gone. It was deeply important to the people of Israel to be able to hold on to the land that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. That's how they found their significance. But we too want to be significant. We too want to make a difference. We too want to have an impact and be remembered in some way for some impact that we've made on the world after we're gone. We don't want to be forgotten. Both security and significance for Ruth and Naomi and also for us hang perilously on the edge. Now, in the book of Ruth, about halfway through, things start to change for them a little bit, thanks in part, largely in part, to Boaz. He begins to act kindly to them. You know, remember, he actually gives them 5 gallons of barley instead of just the handfuls that they would normally get gleaning. There's some good things going on for Naomi and Ruth now, and the despair starts to lift a little bit, but it's not enough. Something more profound has to happen in Naomi and Ruth's lives, something more significant and permanent. They need more than just a buoy tossed to them. They need to be pulled up out of the tumultuous, storm-ridden ocean. They need real redemption. Redemption is about getting back something that's about to be lost. That's what redemption is. So let's talk about how it's accomplished. We talked about what it is and why we need it even, but let's talk about how it's accomplished. Let's look first at how redemption plays out in the book of Ruth. It's interesting, as I was reading Ruth, you begin to see that Naomi actually is searching out redemption first and foremost for Ruth, her daughter-in-law. She recognizes all that Ruth has done for her in going back to Bethlehem with her. And she sees that Boaz has been kind to her. And she thinks to herself, you know, maybe Boaz will marry Ruth. That would be amazing for Ruth. That would be a really good thing. So she comes up with this plan. We talked about that last week where she would go to the threshing floor and uncover his feet and basically ask Boaz to marry her. It's nice of Naomi to want that for Ruth. But what's clear here is that Naomi thinks that that is the best case scenario. That Boaz marries Ruth, Ruth is taken care of, and that Naomi can just fend for herself, this widow, for the rest of her life. You see, Naomi thought that she was outside of the possibility of redemption. She could see a path of redemption for Ruth, but not for herself. She thought she was a lost cause. There's this complex set of laws in the Old Testament and in ancient Israel designed to help provide support for people like Ruth and Naomi so that they would be taken care of. But none of those laws seemed to capture and catch up Naomi and Ruth in its net. There's a couple of laws I was reading about this week. One is the law of the leveret. Okay, this is an ancient Israel law. And in the law of the leveret, if your husband dies, then the husband's brother is to marry the widow and produce an heir. Then the kid would bear the name of the deceased, and that name would carry on for generation to generation. You'd be kind of taken care of, and your land and all your property would then pass on to the heir. So safety, security, significance was all tied up perfectly. But that doesn't work for Naomi, because there was no brother. She was all alone. Or the law of the guardian redeemer. In that law, if someone was in really bad shape and about to lose their land, then someone, a broader kind of relative from the tribe, was to step in and buy the land back and kind of bail out the people who were in trouble so that the land wouldn't go into another person's tribe. Their significance would be restored. The family's name would stick to that land. However, in Ruth and Naomi's case, land couldn't be transferred to a woman's name, and there were no men left in the family. So even if the financial part was taken care of, as soon as Naomi and then Ruth died, the land would be gone. It would go to someone else. Naomi was sure that the best thing that could happen would be for Boaz to marry Ruth and for Ruth to be redeemed and taken care of. However, Ruth believed even when Naomi couldn't believe for herself. Ruth held on to the hope that not just she could be redeemed, but that her suffering mother-in-law could be redeemed too. The laws she recognized were fundamentally about saving the family, and so she chose to take matters into her own hands. You know, so when Ruth asked Boaz to marry her, she actually even called into, she said, you can be my guardian redeemer. So in other words, not only Boaz do I want you to marry me, I want you to take the entire package. I want you to take the land. I want you to take Naomi. I want you to have it all. Will you redeem not just me, but all of us? You can be our guardian redeemer. Ruth is working in reestablishing security and significance for both her and Naomi. What's happening in this book is not just about romance. It's about redemption. Ruth had a lifeline herself, and she could have taken it. She could have just waited for Boaz to marry her and saved herself, but she clung to Naomi as she promised to do in chapter 1. So then we come to our text for the week. The bulk of chapter 4, our last chapter, is a business deal conducted at the city gates. But I encourage you not to zone out. I know that's the most boring description of a book of the Bible ever described. But there's some real like intrigue and drama and suspense in this chapter. So as the video said, Boaz had told Ruth when he was going to marry her, he said, yeah, but there's someone else that can redeem you, and so I want to offer that to him first. And so chapter 4 is like Boaz's meeting with this guy at the city gates. So that they're at the city gates and kind of a crowd has gathered, the elders have gathered to watch, and Boaz explains the situation of the man. There's this land, there's this woman, Naomi, and the man agrees to take Naomi and the land. Now it's important to note here that the man is taking a risk even with that agreement. There's actually a lot at stake here. He's gonna have to make a real investment to care for those two things. You know, he has to kind of get the land like back working, producing. He's taking on Naomi that he's going to care for the rest of her life. So the man takes a deep breath and he says, okay, I'll do it because when Naomi dies, that land goes to my kids. So yes, it's a big investment up front, but I am hoping that someday it will pay off and my kids will receive a greater inheritance. This man says, I'll do it. And then Boaz says, oh, there's just one more thing. There's this Ruth. And when you take the land, you also take Ruth as your wife. The man says, whoa, 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 I'm out. I'm out. Why? Because when he marries Ruth, there is a chance that she could have a baby herself. She hadn't had a baby with her previous husband that had died, but it's still a very real possibility that she could with this new man. And if that happens, then the land that he has invested in will go to her children and not his. So he would make a significant investment and potentially lose all of it. It would go back to the name of Elimelech and Naomi, and he is not willing to redeem. It's at that moment, right there on the spot, that Boaz says, great, if you're not going to, I will. He turns to all of those gathered and joyfully declares, it's mine. They are mine. All lose for the sake of another. And Boaz isn't calculating here. He's not kind of crossing his fingers and hoping, well, hopefully she doesn't get pregnant and I can cash in on this investment that I'm making. He loves Ruth and he wants to redeem her. He wants to restore what's about to be lost, both for Ruth and for Naomi. Now listen, no one blames that other guy, right? The guy who has no name in this passage. No one blames him. He was making like a very reasonable decision to care for his own family and do his own thing and take care of what was his. He's reasonable. It wasn't a sinful thing that man did. He was reasonable. But Boaz was a redeemer. Boaz chose to risk everything to redeem both Ruth and Naomi. Okay, there are two key takeaways, in my view, from this passage of Ruth, from this theme of redemption. Number one is this. It's that God is our ultimate redeemer. This is the most important and most obvious lesson from this book. The writer of Ruth even wants to make that really clear. The writer ties up this book by saying as much. It tells us at the end of chapter 4 that Boaz and Ruth do marry, and they have a son. And Naomi, who was previously, like when she came into town, remember in chapter 1, she said, call me bitter because the Lord has oppressed me. Now she's holding this newborn baby that is like the redeeming her entire family, and she's joyful. It's an awesome ending, and the story could have ended there, but it didn't. The writer says, this baby who is a part of the story about this woman, Ruth, who was committed to this lady, Naomi, who was married to this guy who died, Elimelech, this baby is the grandfather of King David. God redeems. God redeems. This book isn't just about a guy named Boaz being a good guy. It's about the gracious acts of redemption by God. He takes suffering, poor, perilously hanging on the edge people and redeems them and restores them. He uses people like that to produce King David, the greatest king that Israel ever knew. So if you have no Ruth, no bitter Naomi, then you have no King David. Don't you see, the writer seems to be saying, this is how our God works. Your God is a redeemer. It's in his character. It's what he loves to do. Restore and rescue things that are hanging dangerously on the edge. And as the video said, King David is the great, 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 many times grandfather of Jesus, the one who would embody and effect the greatest redemptive act in human history. Redemption is central to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He redeems us. Jesus gives us security and significance. He gives us security. Security, this idea that we are ultimately safe and cared for in the kingdom of God. Even when we do suffer, he suffers alongside us. And his Holy Spirit ministers to us and heals us in ways that nothing else can. And he's provided ultimate security for us so that we don't find ourselves victims to the things that we really deserve and are rightfully ours, things like sin and death. Instead, he rescues us from the edge and gives us forgiveness and life. Lastly, he gives us significance. And this is where I want to end, because this last takeaway from the passage, I was really struck by in a new way this week. In God, we can find significance. And I don't mean here that we'll be like praised heroes of the faith, although that's not totally outside of the possibility for you. One of the ways, though, that we find significance in this life is that we too can become redeemers. We too can redeem. Again, the most important meaning of this text, I just want to make that clear, is that God is a redeemer and that he offers redemption to all of us who hang perilously on the edge. But what's also essential that we grasp from this text, it's staring us right there in the face, is that Boaz acted as a redeemer. Ruth worked for redemption and restoration. We, God's people, have the capacity for redemption. We can be redeemers. We can participate in God's redemption in the world. We can engage in risky, costly work, restoring people who hang dangerously, perilously on the edge. All of us can inhabit a readiness to be used by God to restore whatever's lost in people's lives. We have the capacity for that kind of life. God can do it not just in us, but God can do redemption through us. When we embrace God's redemption, when we really take that truth into our hearts, it enables us to actually not just receive redemption, but to accomplish it in our lives. This is how we find significance. I don't know what that means for you. I frankly don't know what that means for me. What does it mean that we are redeemers? What? I don't know. As I was studying the text this week, it just felt like this is a word for me, maybe for you. I'm not even going to try to give you examples of what redeeming something in your life might look like, but I want to invite you to consider it. Is God calling you to redeem something or someone, to rescue, to pull someone back, or something back that's hanging dangerously and perilously on the edge? Open yourself up to that reality. When we try and do it, it'll be messy because we're not as good at it as God is. We probably won't be part of the story of God in the same way that Boaz and Ruth and Naomi were, but we can be a part of God's story in someone else's life. God offers a life of redemption for us this morning, redeeming us from suffering, insecurity, and insignificance. And he offers a way of redemptive living for us, participating in restoring people back to him. Amen? Amen.